This is Juvie, a podcast that explores cases, legislation, experiences, and ramifications of children and youth in juvenile and adult criminal justice systems. Presented by Zoe Battovinic.
Hello and welcome to Juvie's Juvenile Justice News Roundup. Trends, court rulings, research, hot-button issues, and juvenile cases currently in the media. My name's Zoe Battovinic. Here at Juvie, we invite anyone who has special insight into any of the issues and cases we mention and who'd like to share their perspectives on the show to get in touch with us at juviepodcast@gmail.com. That's juviepodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave comments under the show notes of each episode on our website, juviepodcast.com. And please leave us reviews on iTunes. In this episode of Juvie Juvenile Justice News Roundup, we're going to be focusing on juvenile justice reform. We've got some news about a very important new bill and some innovative new policy platforms. First, though, we have some news about our activities at Juvie this week. We're going to be travelling to Pennsylvania to interview just-released juvenile lifer Tyrone Jones. He spent 43 years in prison after being arrested at 16 and being charged with a shooting, of which he has always declared his innocence. The Innocence Project of Pennsylvania is currently working on his case. We'll also be visiting Greaterford State Correctional Institution near Philadelphia, where we'll be meeting our featured juvenile lifer, Giovanni Reed, face-to-face for the first time. If you've been listening to previous episodes, you'll have heard some of Giovanni's letters to Juvie and our ongoing re-examination of his case. And now, as the thunder roars outside our tiny little studio, here's some news of what's been happening in juvenile justice in the past couple of weeks. Before we get into juvenile justice reform, here's some news about a very well-known case. There have been more developments in the ongoing wait to see if Adnan Syed of Baltimore will get another trial. As a result of a five-day post-conviction relief hearing in February, his conviction for the 1999 murder of his ex-girlfriend, Haemin Lee, was overturned in June, and he was granted the possibility of a new trial. The prosecution appealed the decision in July, putting a spanner in the works of Syed receiving a date for a new trial anytime soon. However, on September 16th, a coalition of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and the Maryland Criminal Defense Attorneys Association filed an amicus brief in which they urged the appeals court to subject Maryland's prosecutor's appeal to rigorous scrutiny. They say that the very public re-examination of the case that has been underway for nearly 2 years, since Sarah Koenig first brought it to light in her podcast Serial, necessitates a retrial in order to resolve the case once and for all in a manner that promotes public confidence in the Maryland criminal justice system. An important piece of legislation for juvenile justice reform was passed last week by the House of Representatives. Earlier this month, a bipartisan group of the United States House of Representatives introduced legislation to strengthen the key federal law protecting youth in the juvenile justice system. The Supporting Youth Opportunity and Preventing Delinquency Act, H.R. 5963, was proposed to help local and state officials better address the needs of youth by preventing their involvement with the juvenile system, protecting them in custody, and helping them transition back into the community. The provisions of the bill are part of an overall proposed reauthorization of the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency and Prevention Act, which originated in 1974 to institute core protections on the care and treatment of youth in the justice system in order for states to receive federal funds, but which has not been updated since 2002 and expired in 2007. On September 22nd, the House voted the Supporting Youth Opportunity and Preventing Delinquency Act just 2 weeks after it was proposed. The updates give states new flexibility in addressing delinquency and gang involvement in local communities, with a focus on diversion and prevention. It also includes guidance on preventing racial and ethnic disparities in the juvenile justice system and requires increased reporting on juveniles' progress during and after their time in the system, including reports on recidivism rates and other measures. The legislation would ban the detention of minors for status offences, Those are crimes that are designated as such because of the age of the offender, such as truancy or breaking curfew or drinking, and the legislation would also prohibit the shackling of pregnant girls. The bill also requires states to be cognizant of and apply the latest science on adolescent brain development and behaviour, and advocates that federal funding be withheld from states that hold minors in adult jails, including juveniles who've been charged with adult crimes but are still awaiting trial. The Senate version of the bill has made it out of committee and has almost unanimous support, but Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas has single-handedly blocked the measure from being put to a quick voice vote. Arkansas has a disproportionately high rate of detained runaway minors and other status offenders. Senator Cotton is reportedly concerned the proposed law would erode the power of the bench and wishes to maintain the discretion judges have, in consultation with parents and attorneys, to order secure confinement as a last resort option. Senators Charles Grassley of Iowa and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, the lead proponents of the bill on the Senate side, have been trying to reach a compromise with Senator Cotton. However, Senator Grassley is optimistic that the bill will pass in the Senate. This month, the Dignity in Schools campaign, a coalition of over 100 groups from 27 states, released a new policy platform in which they express their goal of removing police officers from schools in favour of behaviour interventionists and restorative justice coordinators. They bring attention to recent recorded incidents of violence by police officers against students, saying that children and adolescents are often criminalised for what are age-typical forms of rebellious behaviour. Students of colour and those with disabilities are disproportionately represented among those who end up in the juvenile justice system for behaviours that could have been better contained by properly trained educators and developmental specialists. You can find the policy platform, Counsellors Not Cops, Ending the Regular Presence of Law Enforcement in Schools, at www.dignityinschools.org. Another study advocating a supportive, rehabilitative rather than punishing approach to adolescent acting out was recently released by the Tallahassee, Florida-based advocacy group, the Children's Campaign. In their study, Stepping Up 2016, they report that juveniles who are arrested for minor misdemeanors such as underage drinking, possession of marijuana, vandalism and theft are twice as likely to re-offend than those who are given civil citations and referred to youth diversion programs. In Florida, counties and law enforcement have discretionary power to decide whether first-time offending juveniles receive civil citations or are arrested, but the rate of civil citations for 2015 was only 43%. State Representative Carlos Trujillo sponsored a bill to mandate juvenile civil citations statewide for first-time offenders, but it was unsupported in a state legislative committee earlier this year. The Children's Campaign calls instead for documentation and review of all youth arrests and for offences committed by younger children to be handled by parents and schools. Arrests and subsequent criminal records compromise young people's education and future employment opportunities, making them even more vulnerable to reoffending. Citations, on the other hand, involve community service, letters of apology to victims and law enforcement officers, interventions such as counselling and assessments to determine if juveniles are at risk of committing more crimes. In the long run, this is not only better for juveniles, but saves millions in taxpayer money. Still in Florida, 13th Judicial Circuit Court Judge William Fuente has ruled that the state's non-discretionary 40-year mandatory minimum sentence for minors who killed, intended to kill, or attempted to kill violates the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishments. The Eighth Amendment, the court held, forbids a sentencing scheme for minors that prevents a judge from assessing whether the law's mandatory penalty proportionately punishes a juvenile offender. Judge Fuente is reinforcing the United States Supreme Court 2012 Miller v. Alabama decision, which ruled that mandatory life without parole laws automatically sentencing homicidal juveniles to die in prison are unconstitutional. Minors are intended to be protected against mandatory punishments under the Constitution and to receive individualized sentencing that requires judges to consider defendants' immaturity, recklessness, family, and home environment. In striking down Florida's mandatory minimums for minors law, Judge Fuente is extending the United States Supreme Court's reasoning in coming to its 2012 determination in Miller v. Alabama. Well, that's it for another Juvenile Justice News Roundup that we're dropping twice monthly. Tomorrow, we're recording an episode with Brett and Nazim, the chaps at the Citizens Guide to the Supreme Court podcast. They'll be giving us insights into the recent Montgomery versus Louisiana ruling on life without parole and reflecting on how states are and will be proceeding in its implementation. And there may be a few sandwich ideas thrown into the mix along the way. Don't forget to keep following our unfolding of the story of juvenile life for Giovanni Reed, who will be visiting at Greaterford State Correctional Institution in Pennsylvania this coming weekend. Stay tuned for a report on that first face-to-face meeting, and also of our face-to-face interview with newly released Pennsylvania juvenile lifer Tyrone Jones, also scheduled for this weekend. Please subscribe on iTunes or on our website to get notifications of all upcoming episodes. Follow us on Twitter at @JuviePodcast, and now we have a Facebook page too, which you'll find under JuviePod. So like us and drop your comments on our episodes so far. Thanks for listening, and we hope you're going to continue checking in with Juvie.
I feel so small. Small. While everything else gets bigger.